Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
What up, what up, what everybody? Michael Steele here. Welcome to the Steele Podcast. Such a pleasure having everybody in the house. I'm excited today because given everything that's going on, it's tough to get a member of Congress who, you know, are largely in their districts and they're taking care of their folks. We have the good fortune of having a buddy of mine join us for the podcast to give us an update and to get a sense of what the country is doing and what we should be doing. None other than Congressman Eric Swalwell from the 15th Congressional District in California. He was elected in 2012. He is right now serving on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He chairs the Intelligence Modernization and Readiness Subcommittee, which oversees all overall management of the intelligence community. You saw him really step up and recently during the hearings on Mueller and during impeachment. Congressman, such a pleasure having you on the podcast, man.
Oh, thanks for having me back on, Michael.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's just get right into the nitty-gritty of things. There's a lot of concern out here in the public about testing. There's a lot of concern about whether or not the city I live in will be shuttered. In other words, we have to all stay in place, you know, hunker down in place. What's your assessment, particularly given now that the House acted last week, Senate just finally caught up last night, to passing legislation to begin to ease some of the pressures, but there's still a lot more we need to be concerned about. What's your assessment right now?
We need more tests. I mean, that's the assessment. And I don't think there's anything more important as far as taking like a diagnostic of, you know, what the exposure is than having as many tests available. I've been on the phones with my local hospitals every day. And the good news is that they are, you know, almost like doubling every day the number of tests that they can conduct. But that may not be able to keep up with the amount of people who are presenting with symptoms. So when I get off this call, I'm actually going to do a tour with Roche. That's mm-hmm. a pharmaceutical company that they do diagnostics and testing, and they created the kit that is going to be mass distributed, you know, to help us in this crisis. So, you know, the more we test, the sooner we're out of this. And so the way I see it, Michael, is that we're kind of at the will of, or we're kind of at the mercy of the lowest common denominator here, meaning that even if the Bay Area or the Washington, D.C. area, right, or New York can isolate and shelter in place and see its numbers peak and then start to drop, that doesn't really matter if South Florida or other parts of the right country continue to spike, because you can't, San Francisco can't open up its, you know, hotel rooms and be open for business if there's a risk of people from other places where it has not dropped coming in. So we're all in this together, and the sooner we all test, the sooner we can really, you know, accurately track those numbers.
Well, but that's the rub. I mean, the reality of it is, tell us the truth here. What happened? Did the, or did not the WHO, the World Health Organization, offer to the United States back at the end of January access to the test kits that we would need at least initially, or we should be able to have used at least initially to sort of stem or begin to anticipate this problem, or what happened there? I mean, because
it looks like they did, and you know, I don't want to get hung up too much in the past, because the crisis is today, tomorrow, right. You know, years from now. So it looks like they did. It looks like we were insisting on having our own, you know, procedures, and it looks right. like that got in the way. And we better learn from that, because this won't be the last pandemic probably in our lifetime. But, you know, now that we're at where we are, right. we should just focus on, you know, getting as many tests
So what's the holdup? You're going to visit virtually at least a lab producing these tests. I'm working with the leadership here in my state of Maryland to try to see how we can access greater opportunities to get tests. Why is this such a problem? I mean, at the end of the day, that's a real and present danger yep. right now.
yep. Now you have to, you know, distribute them, and you have to give, you know, each testing site the independence to be able to conduct, you know, the tests with as few barriers as possible. Of right. course, you want to make sure the tests are, you know, accurate.
Right,
and that,
exactly.
You know, that safety precautions are taken, that there's privacy issues at stake here. But I think most of those barriers have been taken away by the federal government, and that now it's just a distribution challenge. And each state is standing up, you know, their drive-through testing procedures. Now, but I will say, you have to think about this, what I've learned, you have to think about this, that we're always probably 3 weeks behind where we need to be. So, like, the numbers we're seeing today are essentially people that got this 2 to 3 weeks ago. And
right.
so, if your area has not been hit yet, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be, as a public health official, thinking about, where am I going to be putting my, you know, drive-through testing sites? You know, how do I make sure that our hospitals are ready? And so it shouldn't just be the areas that are feeling it now, because there's a whole nother wave after wave that's coming that's going to crash in different communities. And so, you know, I hope that people aren't so short-sighted that that's how they're looking at
this. Well, if they're not short-sighted, at least some of our family and friends are being dumb as hell, because we're seeing images of people down at beaches in Florida all congregating
that's crazy.
And partying.
Yeah,
and I'm
crazy.
Like, do you realize that, okay, so you're young and dumb, we get it, but at the same time, you can get sick. And how
yep.
do we break through when there has been such mixed messaging? And look, I admire you just put on the street straight up, because you were very precise in an interview with my friend and colleague Nicole Wallace.
Yeah.
In which you said, look, I'm not going to sit here and trash the president who's appointed. We've all got to pull together. And I think that's important. You've got the right attitude and the right approach, and you've always been like this. One of the things I like about you. But we have to admit that the messaging has been confusing. It has been muddled. It has now led to some people to believe, oh, this can't touch me, or it won't
yeah.
touch me.
Yeah.
How do we overcome that battle? Because where you live, you're now have been ordered by the governor of your state
yeah.
to shelter in place. That has an impact on you, your family.
So actually, Michael, I chose, because I wanted to be near the Capitol, fearful that we were going to have to shelter in place, I've stayed in D.C.
Right.
Because
oh, so you're
I
separated from your
I
family.
I stayed here. No, I have my family here.
Oh, good, good.
I want to be near the Capitol when these decisions are being made. And I was afraid when I had to decide, do I go home or do I stay? I feared that a shelter-in-place order would be put in place and that I couldn't get to the Capitol when trillions of dollars of relief are going to be on the line. And, you know, I want to be a voice for my constituents. I don't want to be, you know, stuck in my district. And so in a second, I want to talk a little bit about remote voting.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely, because I'm all about that.
I've been pushing for that. But, you know, the truth is the president from the very beginning, I think, had this, this isn't going to affect us. It's going to go away. There's
right.
just 10 people and they're going to get better. And I think today when he speaks about it, you can see he is a different person than he was
yeah,
a month
is.
Ago.
He
gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it. It's a threat to, you know, the economy. It's a threat, you know, to the health of so many people we care about. And I'll be honest, I was hearing the messaging, and I'm 39. I'm, you know, I turned 40 this year, so I'm, you know, going through that transition of
you're about
the back
fun.
Nine.
You're about to have fun.
Yeah. Turn into the back nine myself. But I thought, you know what, this is a young people. We're going to be fine. You're not hearing stories. And now I'm a different person than I was.
Right.
Week ago or 2 weeks ago, and you know, I am taking as many precautions as possible, because I'm seeing the stories that, you know, people, you know, in their 30s have, you know, succumbed to this. And so it's something that, and I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and we're seeing cases now with children getting it. So I think we all just need to, you know, act as if, you know, this could hit us and hit us hard. And that includes, you know, the beaches of South Florida, and, you know, they need to be closed. And the sooner that all of us are taking this seriously, the sooner we get back to normal.
That's
the truth.
And I think the sooner we're able to begin to stem the flow of this thing and recognize that we control as much as any government policy or regulation, how we interact and whom we interact with. And if we lessen that, if we do create some distance where we shelter, you know, self-quarantine, if you will, that helps a long way. You raised the economic policy piece, and before I get to the voting piece, which is something I've been advocating along with you on opening up access to absentee ballot voting, what policies, if any, should we be looking at on a national scale to sort of deal with the economic impact? I had a heart-wrenching phone conversation with a businessman last night who called my home to say, look, I just had to fire 350 of my workers because I can't do business. He's a restaurateur in D.C. And his employees, Congressman, showed up at work the next day to help clean the restaurant after they'd been fired. And he is so frustrated as he sat there and watched the Congress, you know, bail out the airline industry with $50 billion. And yet he has to fire his people. All I need is $250,000. I can keep them on payroll for 4 months. What kind of policy should we be looking at to help people in tough situations like that? I like the idea of $1,000 check. Yeah. I probably don't deserve it and won't need it. But I know there are a lot of people who do. But giving them $1,000 versus keeping their job.
Yep. The way I see it is that there's two tracks. So there's the healthcare track, right? So there's what you need to do to make sure that we're funding the healthcare need. So funding the testing, funding the fast track to a vaccine, funding the hospitals so that they can meet their payroll and that they can take care of all of us. Because the sooner this vaccine is found or we get to zero cases, whichever one wins in that race, we're back to an economy that can start working again. On the economic track, I look at it as you have to help. First and foremost, we want employers to be incentivized not to lay people off.
Right.
And so what I have been proposing is that we find ways for them to incentivize those who are willing to keep people on their payroll. And maybe that's having, you know, a separate entity that they can lend money from, you know, from the government at a low interest rate. And I think the way you look at this is if you are already, if you were pre-corona in good standing with your existing lender, essentially you've already been vetted, right?
Right.
You've been vetted. You're in good standing. You're profitable. We want you to be the most eligible to take, you know, a bridge loan to the end of, you know, this crisis.
Sure.
And so that, I think, could be a way for the government to be a lender, you know, maybe put a point on it, or, you know, we could figure out what it would take so it's not just a complete giveaway. And, you know, maybe it's a 30-year loan, just for argument's sake. But that could give businesses the capital to keep their employees on their payroll, make sure that they can have the healthcare benefits they need. So that's one track that I'm looking at and have been discussing in our caucus. Second track are the employees, unfortunately, like the ones you just talked about. And I've got immediate family members who have just been laid off. They're unemployed now. And so giving the states, you know, the unemployment insurance that they're going to need to take care of those folks. But I also think there's a third part of this. When you look at the economic track, so you have incentivizing employers, you know, through loans to keep people working, helping those who are unemployed, but looking at as hospitals take on overflow and as we do all we can to, you know, make sure that we bring this down to zero cases, they're going to need to put people to work. And there has to be a way, if you have smart, talented, skilled people who are out of a job, that could perform, you know, non-medical jobs, you know, to help out hospitals, like put those give those people paychecks. And I've been telling our local hospitals, identify, you know, where your need is, where you don't need a medically licensed professional.
Right.
You just need someone who works hard and, you know, is going to do a good job and can follow the CDC guidance so it's not spreading further. But let's just find ways to make sure that dignity of work is still there where we can provide it.
One other idea that I was talking to another buddy of mine who's out in your neck of the woods, out in California, and he's in that space where, you know, he's an entrepreneur. He doesn't have employees. He's self-employed. And, of course, now he's losing contract work. I'm experiencing the same thing. You know, I have a lot of contract work that I do, and they're like, sorry, can't need you anymore. So this idea we were talking about, he was like, look, I'm getting to a point, I know by the end of next month, certainly the beginning of May, I'm going to have to dip into my 401k to cover my expenses. Yet he's going to get penalized when he does that, because if he doesn't put it back in 6 weeks, you know, he pays the taxes plus a 10% fee. Is there any thought about making it available in this crisis for people who have to make that emergency dip into their savings, their retirement?
That's a great idea.
They're not penalized?
I hadn't thought about that. I certainly, to buy our first house, we had to do that to purchase it. So the penalty hurts, but, you know, that's a good idea. We should put that on the table. Of course, you know, sadly for so many Americans, and I see this in mine and I see this in our families, 401ks are, a third of what they were a week ago.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Or I mean, they've lost a third of their value.
Yes, they have.
But yeah, I think cash is cash right now when you're just trying to take care of yourself.
He needs to pay his mortgage.
Going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You and I are in the same hub when it comes to the ballot box, and unfettered access is important. I'm fully full square behind the Klobuchar-Wyden bill. Senator Klobuchar, Ron Wyden have a bill that they've produced that would tell the states to open up the ballot box so that people can actually vote absentee without having to justify it. What say you, sir?
Yes, we do that in California already.
Yep.
Oregon is 100% absentee voting. I think this upcoming November, we seriously need to have that in place with support from the federal government if necessary, so that the integrity of our elections are pure. So we want physical distancing in the public, but we don't want, you know, democratic distancing as far as how our government works. And one other idea that I've put out there, and Senator Klobuchar is pushing this in the Senate, in 2013, for the Congress, I wrote legislation that would allow us to vote remotely in a situation like this. And I've introduced that bill every year, and it's always been panned as, oh, you're just one of these millennials that never wants to interact with somebody and just wants to work virtually. And now we sent to the Speaker and Leader McCarthy last week, 50 members, Republican and Democratic, signed a letter asking for this, because now we have members who have tested positive for COVID-19.
Yep.
We have about 20 in our caucus who are self-quarantining. And so my fear is that you have all these decisions on the economy, on healthcare, that have to be made imminently, and we can't even convene. And so let's give ourselves that remote voting capability, just for a crisis, but that way we can be voices wherever we are for our constituents.
Well, I appreciate your leadership, my friend. We've gotten to know each other a little bit over the last couple of years, and every time I see you, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for taking time to come on.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this, even during a crisis like this. I think your voice really matters for people who are isolated and want help.
I appreciate it. Congressman Eric Swalwell, thanks for being on the podcast, my friend. Take care.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this. I want to thank the congressman again for joining me on the podcast. It's always a treat when I get a chance to chat with Congressman Swalwell. We've become good buddies, and we have a good laugh every time we're together. These are serious times, though, and I appreciate his taking time. Folks, I just want to take a little extra moment to share a couple of extra thoughts with you, because I think it's important that we all recognize the time we're in and what it means. We are right now facing a big challenge as a nation. In moments like this, we often look to leadership to sort of call us to order, you know, to sort of give us marching orders, direction, to give us a sense of, okay, it'll be all right, to give us an appreciation of the steps that are out there that we have to do, and the things that they are doing to make sure that our families and our communities are safe, that our businesses stay open, and that our economy stays strong, and most importantly, our people remain healthy. That has been a mixed opportunity since January of this year. And I think it's important for us now to sort of self-reflect, but also to engage with each other in a way in which we help step up our role and responsibility here. To the folks who are hanging out in Florida at the beaches having a great time, get your ass back home and take care of the business. You understand exactly what's going on right now. You have been warned many times by the highest medical and health authorities in this nation that the kind of congregating you're doing, the partying, the close proximity, all of that is potentially harmful. Maybe not to you, but then you become a carrier and bring it back home to someone else, like your mother, your grandparents, a family friend, who then gets sick. And what do you do then? You had a great time, but now they're sick. So stop being selfish and take a moment and think about what you're doing. To the small business owners out there, y'all just hang in, hang in. If you can hold on to your employees, and I know it's hard. As I said to the congressman, I had a heart-wrenching conversation with one of our own local business owners who had to make the tough decision because they closed his restaurant. He can't serve people. And consequently, there's no revenue. When there's no revenue, he can't make payroll. If he can't make payroll, he's got to let people go. And he's had to do that. So we need to think about how we can protect those who are being pushed out of business. At the same time, we protect those who are now being pushed into unemployment. And I think, again, we can help in that conversation, letting our leaders know what we need right now. I appreciate getting a $1,000 check. I really do. But what I think Americans will appreciate more, particularly those who are employed, particularly those who are employing others, is that maybe you bundle that money and give it to the small business owner so he can keep his people employed during this downtime so that in a month, 2 months, they can come back to a job. Just a few things to think about. Also, as we get ready with primaries that have been suspended and moved, we need to think that the most important gift our founders gave us was the franchise, the ability to vote, the ability to decide the direction of our country, to decide who the leaders would be, who would lead in that direction. And we can't afford to have that shuttered either. We can't afford to have that pushed aside and set on a pedestal or put on a shelf until some point later. There are steps right now that members of Congress and state legislatures can do to address and alleviate this particular issue. And that is to allow for those who are, you know, at home to go online or to send in a mailed request for an absentee ballot without having to come up with an excuse. There should be no excuse not to vote. All right. You hear me? There should be every reason to get people to vote. And so the more we can get out there and let our state legislatures, our governors, our members of Congress, House and Senate know that we want at this very trying, difficult time, full access to the ballot box nonetheless, they should know that and they should act accordingly. So check out the legislation that Amy Klobuchar and Ron Wyden have introduced in the Senate. You can find it on www.usvotefoundation.org, where I'm chairman of the board. We have all the legislation there. You can go check it out. And you can go and see and read and learn and then push to let folks know that this is important legislation to have right now. Finally, I want everybody to just, you know, be safe. Do the smart thing. We, by this point, all know what the intelligence has told us, what the science is showing us. So now it's on us to act responsibly. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. Don't be stupid or do stupid. There's no need for that. You want to be healthy for them, and you want them to be well in your life. So you're not sitting there at a hospital bedside or, God forbid, attending a funeral. We control a lot more of this than we realize. And so if we act accordingly and appreciate the responsibility we have one to another, we're going to be fine on the other side. All right, folks. So that's it for now. A little bit more of the Steele, Michael Steele podcast will be coming at you. Certainly check us out on all the popular spots, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast on. It's always a treat when we're together. Appreciate your downloads. Appreciate the good word. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Steele. Until the next time, peace, love, and safety.
Your local Health Mart pharmacy is putting the personal care back in healthcare. We know you by name, not by refill number. Visit healthmart.com for the location near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.